You are listening to the Mob Files Podcast, a podcast about the history of the Italian-American Mafia and other influential organized crime groups in North America. If you enjoy today's episode, be sure to subscribe or follow. New episodes come out on Thursday evenings. Hello everyone and welcome back to the Mob Files. I'm your host, Brian McCoy, coming to you from beautiful but very hot today, Tampa, Florida. Couple notes up front here. Today's episode will be a pretty short one, and then next week there won't be an episode. I'm taking a week off. So after this one, the next episode will come out on August 4th. Alright, so getting back to our episode today, our subject is Joe Colombo. We're going to be doing another mob boss briefing episode. So again, this will be a very brief overview of the life of Joe Colombo, who is obviously a towering figure in mob history. So we'll start off with just some of the basics. Colombo was born in Brooklyn on June 16, 1923. When he was still a young man, he joined the Profaci family, which was led by Joe Profaci. Profaci had founded the family in 1928, and they quickly established themselves as a dominant force in New York City, and specifically operating out of the Brooklyn area. Now, as I said, Colombo was young when he got involved with the family, but he also had multiple legitimate jobs as well. He worked as a longshoreman for a long time, and he was also a salesman for a meat company and was even involved in real estate. Now, the Profaci family would eventually become the Colombo family. It's kind of the predecessor. Colombo's father was also involved in the Profaci family and was an important member, but he was killed in 1938. His body was found in his car along with the body of his mistress. So Colombo would eventually follow his father into the Profaci family, and he quickly started to make a name for himself. And the way he did that was as an enforcer. You know, he was your stereotypical tough guy willing to do whatever it took to advance the family's interest. And so this obviously earned him a lot of credit with the important people in the family. They saw that he was a valuable member, and he started to climb up the ranks. And he became a captain at a fairly young age, and you'll see accomplishing things at a younger than normal age is a staple. It's a recurring theme of Colombo's life in the mob. And the Profacis would need that muscle. They would need guys like Colombo in the 60s. In the early 60s, the first Colombo War started. And the Colombo family history is marked by these wars. You always hear about the first Colombo War and the second Colombo War. But as I said, the first one started in the early 60s. And it started when the Gallo gang, Joe Gallo and his followers, decided to make a move. And they took four high-ranking members of the Profaci family hostage. This included the underboss, Profaci's own brother, a high-ranking capo, and an important soldier as well. Profaci was able to stay out of the fray and avoid being captured or killed early on, and he actually went and hid out in Florida. So the reason that the Gallos took these members hostage is because they wanted to have leverage to negotiate a better financial agreement between themselves and the Profacis. And eventually the hostages were released based on that promise, and a promise that there would be no escalation on either side. But the Profacis obviously weren't going to honor that. And I don't think that should really come as a surprise. You can't make a move against a high-ranking mobster like that and take some of his closest allies and associates hostage and expect there to not be consequences. And so the war escalated almost immediately. And things got very violent, and there were multiple murders between the two groups. And obviously everyone was on edge this entire time because they knew that they were actively engaged in a war. Now, around this same time, Joe Bonanno had made plans to take out multiple commission members, including Tommy Lucchese and Carlo Gambino. And the current head of the Profaci family at that time was a co-conspirator with Joe Bonanno. Now, Colombo, as I said earlier in the episode, was known as a tough guy, known as an enforcer, you know, a good hitman. And he was recruited to help with the plan. They thought that they could use him. But instead, he turned on them and he revealed the plan to several of the targets on the commission in 1963. As I talked about in the Joe Bonanno episode, the plan was ultimately halted thanks to Columbo relaying that information. So Joe Bonanno was forced into hiding and some other people were killed as a result of it. But Columbo was rewarded by the commission for tipping them off, and they gave him control of the Profaci family. And of course, it would come to bear his name very soon. At this time, Columbo was only 41 years old, and as I said, he achieved a lot of things in life at an earlier age than others were able to. And it was also important because he was the first American-born boss of one of the New York City families. So one of the lasting pieces of Columbo's legacy was his creation of the Italian-American Civil Rights League. Columbo formed this group in 1970, and he touted it as a group whose purpose was to advocate and fight political and legal battles on behalf of Italian Americans. Specifically, he was concerned about the negative stereotypes and the negative attention that Italian people had received in America. And of course, there is a lot to back that up. The Italians weren't treated very well, and it was hard for them to break through into a lot of industries and to gain a lot of political capital for a long time. But in reality, one of the major goals of this group was to wash the mob's image, to try to get attention away from some of the negative criminal aspects of what was going on. And Columbo didn't just create the group. I mean, he was very active as part of it. He did a lot of interviews. He organized protests and marches. But perhaps most famously was the group and Columbo, more specifically,'s involvement in holding up filming of The Godfather for a while. So this the Italian-American Civil Rights League and other Italian-Americans were opposed to the film at first, the idea of the film, because they were worried about those negative stereotypes being associated with Italian-Americans. And they were worried that people would see that film and they would think, oh, that's all there is about Italians. There's nothing else going on. They wouldn't see the good side. They wouldn't see that there's plenty of law-abiding people who are just making their way through the world. So Columbo famously met with the producers on that movie and they came to an agreement. Columbo would make sure that the movie could be filmed without the filmmakers having any trouble as long as the words mafia and Cosa Nostra were not used in the script. So the idea was the movie could still get made, but some of those words that had, at that time, certainly very negative connotations would be left out of the script. One event that the League organized and that Columbo had a big hand in was the Italian Union Day rally. So in 1970, they had their first one, and then on June 28, 1971, they had their second annual rally. And Columbo was, of course, in attendance. It was at this event, though, that he was ambushed by a gunman, Jerome Johnson. Johnson walked up behind Columbo and shot him 3 times. Johnson was immediately killed by Columbo's security detail, but Columbo was hit in the head. And the lasting impacts of the injuries were devastating. Columbo was paralyzed and could not really speak, and he spent 2 months in the hospital before being moved back to his own house. He was able to hang on for a number of years before dying on May 22, 1978, at the age of 54. He died of cardiac arrest, and I've read in some places that it was linked to his injuries from the shooting, and in other places that it was independent of that. Not a good way to go out. It later came out that Joe Gallo ordered the hit on Columbo, and of course Gallo was famously murdered a short time later on April 7, 1972. And the shooting also triggered the Second Columbo War, which lasted from that time until 1975. So as you can tell, Columbo lived a relatively short life, but he accomplished a lot during that time, at least, you know, in terms of what he was trying to accomplish during his life in the Mafia. He became a captain very early on and became one of the youngest bosses of a large family in history at only 41. And I think one of the things that sticks out to me most about Columbo that is different than a lot of mob bosses was that he openly embraced the publicity and that he was out there talking about Italian civil rights and things like that. And he didn't shy away from that despite, you know, being involved with what he was involved with. That wraps up our episode for today. And like I said, we're taking next week off, but then coming back on Thursday, August 4th, we should be back to more normal length episodes and get back to the normal schedule. Thank you so much for listening to episode 15 of The Mob Files. If you enjoyed, be sure to subscribe or follow, and please leave a review on your listening platform of choice. Thanks again, and have a great day.